Life Christian Centre is a church located in the city of Adelaide. It is made up of people from different backgrounds and walks of life who have been transformed through a relationship with Jesus Christ. For more information, visit us online at www.life-church.com.au.
It's so good to be in church this morning, and it's a real privilege and an honour to have Pastor Tark Barner with us. Today's not a stranger to our church, part of the family. He's part of the family. He's been ministering in our church for a number of years now, and we're so blessed to have him with us. Jody's also here with him, his daughter. Why don't you stand, Jody? Just stand. Give her a hand. Come on. It's great to have you with us. As well. For those that don't know him, he's the pastor of Church Unlimited, a thriving church with many campuses in New Zealand, Auckland, New Zealand. He also hosts a radio and a TV ministry, Running With Fire. He hosts an annual conference in New Zealand. He's just a great man of God. Preaches in countries all around the world. There's a couple of books he's written. He's going to talk about that before. But above all of that, he's just a great man of God. And he's a man of prayer. He's not a man that just talks about prayer. This guy actually prays. Would you believe it? I know it's unusual. I know. But this guy actually prays, and he actually fasts, and is really believing for God to really move. And, you know, often with ministries like Pastor Tark, it's not just the information. There's an impartation that happens. That goes beyond the text and the preaching and the words. You catch something, and that's why I just love inviting him, because I believe he brings something to the church. He adds value to the church. Often when we invite speakers, I always think about, you know, I don't want to just bring anybody, because anybody can preach a word, but we want something who's going to impart something into the house, and that's what he does. Every time he's come, we go away different, and so I just love spending time with him, and I know that we're going to be blessed this morning as we hear the word. So would you just give him a big welcome. Welcome as he comes to minister the word today. Amen.
Good morning, Life Christian Church. It's great to be in Adelaide. Yeah, I love the weather. Thank you for turning on such fantastic weather for us, the sunshine. We've just had Jody and I just had a ball here. We went out to Harbour Town yesterday. And if someone can support my credit card, because Jody spent so much on it. All offerings were well received here this morning. So I'll have to go to the bank and get extend my overdraft when I get back to New Zealand. But anyway, I had a great time. We had a great time shopping, and it's just been a lot of fun being here Friday night with the young people, then Saturday with the leaders, and now with you this morning. I want to thank Pastor Joe and Lena for the honor of being in this great house. And being able to share from this platform. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it entered your hearts what God is going to do, what He's prepared for you. You've seen nothing yet. Best days are coming. God doesn't give you extra facilities for the fun of it. You're going to need every facility He's given you and more. So good to be here. It's a great church. It really is. Sometimes when you're in a church all the time, you don't realize how good it is, you know, and we find that back at home as well in New Zealand. Hey, but before I come to the Word of God, there's going to be a social media slide going to come up there, because I think it's going to come up there. Maybe it's going to come up somewhere. Maybe it's not going to come anywhere. All right. Anyway, if you want to follow us on social media, especially Instagram, just go to @TarkBarner, and love you to follow us. We'll go all over the world, and you'll hear. Oh, there it is. There you go. Thanks, team. And we'll be I'm off to Egypt very shortly. And I just realized Egypt's really close to Gaza. Like, pray for me, please. It's really close. Next door. I was going to check out Gaza while I'm there, but I don't think I might just stay away from there. Then I'm going to be in Swaziland and South Africa and, all over the place. So been up in Egypt, Vietnam recently. So if you want to follow us, we're also on Facebook there. You got to go to Tark Barner, Running With Fire with Tark Barner. That's the one for Facebook. So, Father, we thank you for your presence. Lord, we've prayed already, but Holy Spirit, would you take control of the next 40 minutes or so? And Holy Spirit, would you speak into each individual heart that which you want to say? Lord, a word from heaven. I pray that, Lord, this morning that there's some in this building that are going to be powerfully apprehended by the Spirit of God. You're going to have an encounter with you that's going to shape their entire future. Lord, I thank you that you are going to speak a word that changes lives, that sets people on a different pathway from what they're on today, that there might be, Lord, as it were, a divine intervention, a defining moment, Lord, that shifts them from one pathway to a greater pathway that you have purposed for their lives. So Holy Spirit, would you help them to hear the voice within the voice of the Holy Spirit. Lord, give us ears to hear what the Spirit would say this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me take you to 1949, the Hebridean revival, where there's two sisters in their 80s, and one's blind and one has severe arthritis. You can always be doing something for God. And they would pray from 10 p.m. to 3 a.m. in the morning. And one had a vision of a church full of young people. And at that time, there was not one single young person attending church. Imagine that. The heavens began to open. And after the prayer meeting, Duncan Campbell says at 3 a.m. in the morning along the country road, there's three men on their faces crying out to God for mercy. Imagine three men or women, Rundle Mall, when you're going down shopping, on their faces crying out to God for mercy. You know God is starting to move. And there was a light on in every home, 3 o'clock in the morning. And young people were at this dance. And suddenly, there were hundreds of them, overcome with a conviction of sin. The dancing stops and they run to church. No one's asked them, no one's invited them. Spirit of God has just come upon them and they run off to church. They get to church and they say that people got out of bed from all over this township and they all began to run to church. The church is packed out with 800 people. Holy Spirit moves. Many fall to the floor. Many are weeping. Hundreds are saved and 75% of them got saved before they got to church and before they heard a sermon, and a great revival broke out over that whole region. And be one of the greatest revivals in the history of the world. I'm a revivalist, all right, if you've not worked that out yet. And I know I'm going to see revival. I just know it. God's made it clear in my spirit, I'm going to see it. And right now at Church Unlimited, we're starting to see God do things. I've been running that church 35 years that we have never seen before. People are starting to pray. More people are coming to our prayer meeting. Prayer meetings are starting to break out on the left and on the right. We're seeing the power of God at another level. We're seeing on services, people are just on their knees. No one's asked. I'm thinking, God, what on earth is going on here? People just you know, in worship, they're just face down and crying out to God. And we're seeing people saved like we've never seen before. Just in every service, even this morning, there's a stack of people giving their lives to Jesus. And it's just incredible. So I'm seeing a cloud the size of a man's hand. It's not revival, but it's a trickle. Something is starting to happen. I'm in the most exciting season in Church Unlimited in 35 years. He is starting to do something amazing. I can't imagine what we're going to see in 3, 4, 5, 10 years' time. So I want to speak a little bit into this, not any more about our church, but just want to say that I'm speaking on something that I'm starting to see happen in a measure. You know, the first, what happens in revival is first Christians and the church get set on fire. And then after they're set on fire, it spreads to the unsaved, miracles flow, multitudes get saved, and churches across Australia, Adelaide, begin to grow rapidly on new believers. Is there a praise in the house when we start to see that? Wouldn't that be amazing? Wouldn't that be absolutely amazing? And that's what we're looking for and believing for. You know, today, many churches, not this one, but many churches are struggling, and your nation, my nation, is in trouble. The only answer, there is only one answer, there's only ever been one answer, and that is a great revival. Yeah. So I want to stir your faith this morning to believe. Can I get you to believe God for an outbreak and a move of revival power in this church? Yes. In this church. That's what we're preaching into today. And I don't think I'm here just by chance. I believe your church is marked to see a revival. You know, Life Christian Church, by the way, is called by God to help bring revival to Adelaide. How many of you know Adelaide needs a revival? You need a revival, man. And you know, the beauty about somebody that I'm not that interested in revival. Listen, when you get revival, your needs get met. Your problems get solved. Your body gets healed. The depression goes. The mental health gets sorted out. Everything comes because God turns up and begins to revolutionize our life. Anyone getting more hungry for revival? See, it's all for your good. It's all for my good. And to see God do what he wants to do, what we want him to do. Acts 2:17-18. It shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. On my men servants and maid servants, I'll pour out my spirit. Do you know the history of the church is the history of revival? Early church, they say, I started great revival. What happened? Church would experience revival, but then we'd go into decline and darkness. Then people begin to pray, and then another revival would come. But then the church would go into, you know, drift away, get lukewarm. The nation would go into darkness and go down again. Another group would start to pray and God would send another revival and the church would be revived. Then it would go back into darkness again and again. And then people would begin to pray because they see the darkness, they see the lukewarmness of the church. God would send another revival. And friends, I think Australia and Adelaide is due for another revival because there is darkness, isn't there? The church has not got the fire that it should have. Maybe you have, but many haven't. So we are ready for another revival. You know, prayer and revival have kept the church alive for 2,000 years.
That's right.
Prayer and revival. It's not rocket science.
No.
It's not complicated. Pray, revival. Yeah. Keeps the church going.
Yeah.
Once the church stops praying, it all falls away. You know, Martin Lloyd-Jones said this, when God moves, he can do more in 1 minute than all your organizing can do in 50 years.
Yes.
1 minute. And what, tell the person next to you, in 1 minute. Yeah, it can change, revolutionize everything. There was a church in Wales, a village, and they had 50 people in this in the church, and 250 people in the village. Then God poured out his spirit. Suddenly the heavens began to open over that region. Just overnight, the God invaded that region. The next day, the entire village of 250 people were in church. When God moves, I'm telling you, when God moves, you might think you've got a full house now, but wait till God moves, you're going to be in serious trouble, all right? So, but God will work out a way to answer all that and sort that all out, I'm sure. We actually had to go to 3 services in the morning a number of years ago, and I'm praying that we're going to have to do it again, maybe 4 or 5 even, hey, whatever it takes to get the people in. And everybody said?
Amen.
No, everybody said, I'll be there to serve. You know, there's a prophetic word. You know, revival is not just churches filled with men and women, but men and women filled with God. I want to be filled with God. Anyone else?
Yes.
When revival comes, you get filled with God. When you get filled with God, you've got everything. You go into peace, joy, fulfillment, satisfaction. You still have your problems, but it's just different because you're filled with God. It's what happened on the day of Pentecost. Holy Spirit came. They got filled with God. They went and changed the world. We get enough people in this room filled with God, you will transform Adelaide. It's not that complicated. I don't think that hard to do. But there'd been a prophetic word that there's a huge tsunami of the Spirit coming. What I found out about tsunamis is first the water level drops away. It just drops right away. And then the tsunami comes. I want to suggest that the water level in many churches and in the city has dropped away. But that is the exact time a tsunami of the Spirit can break in and bring a revolution in the church and also into the city. Major prophetic voices have said this. I love this. Large stadiums were built not for sports events, but for revival meetings. God used the heathen to build stadiums for the church. And, you know, you've got the Oval, Adelaide Oval here, 53,000 people. The day's coming. It's going to be filled for revival meetings. And once that's filled up, you can head up to the MCG, 100,000, 110,000, whatever they can get in there. And they're going to have multiple meetings in there because they won't get them all in one hit. When revival comes, friends, people are going to turn out. You might think, oh, come on, Pastor, what are you talking about? You know, in Argentina, there's a Hurricane Stadium. Seats 180,000 people. Fantastic, eh? There's only one person who's ever been able to fill it from what I've been told. Do you know who it was? Tommy Hicks in the revival. He's the only guy. Only a revival can fill some of these auditoriums over and beyond what they're already experiencing now. So we need to thank the government for building stadiums. Yeah, for the coming revival for the church. Come on, let's give the government a big hand this morning. Thank you, government, whoever you are. Well done, city leaders in Adelaide. We appreciate what you've done for us. And I trust they'll give us those stadiums to use for free. Claim that in Jesus' name. I'm keeping an eye on my time here. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 20. The kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. You know, when revival comes, with it comes the power of God. Yeah. I heard this man preaching away. I wish it was me. Preaching away, and he's preaching up a storm. This lady comes to the front of the platform and starts dancing. And he says, would you mind sitting down? I'm preaching. She said, no. So he keeps on preaching. Well, she just keeps on. He said, would you please sit down? She said, no. The third time he wants to preach and he's so distracted. He said, would you please sit down? She said, no. She said, I'm sitting over there. I've been in a wheelchair 23 years and God has just healed me. Come on, give God a praise in the house. Incredible, isn't it? Get ready for revival, folks. When you see it, God's going to do some amazing things. There's another story about that. Reynold Bonnke tells a story about this boy. He's 12 years old, living up in the mountains. But he had to travel down to the township to get fuel for the generator. He'd travel 3 days, you know, with his two cans. And he goes down to town every month or whatever, however he went. One time he goes down and everyone's walking in the same direction. And so he thinks, what on earth's going on? He's got so many people. So he follows them, comes to this massive field. Tens of thousands of people are gathered. He's mesmerized. He's listening. And one person gets up and says, I came here last night. I was blind. Now I can see. Another person gets up. I was deaf. Now I can hear. Someone else gets up. I was crippled. Hey, now God has healed me. Miracle after miracle. After 2 hours of miracles, this is coming, folks. Then Bonnke preaches the gospel. And this boy, 12-year-old boy, and thousands get saved. So then he gets filled with the Holy Spirit. So he goes back to his village 3 days. The whole 3 days, he's singing and praying in tongues. 12 years old, so impacted by the Lord. And so anyway, he gets back home. He starts telling everybody about Jesus. His father says, don't you talk about Jesus here. We're not Jesus followers. But he couldn't contain himself. The father Ben beat him up and all the rest of it. But he couldn't help himself. He told his brothers and sisters and everyone else. And the father said, I'm taking you to the chief witch doctor. Head off to the chief witch doctor. Witch doctor sitting on his throne. But in front of the witch doctor on a mat is his 11 to 12-year-old daughter who's been crippled since birth. The 12-year-old boy, before the father or the witch doctor could say anything, he gets up and he does what he saw being done at the Bonnke Crusade. So he goes over to this girl. He says, in the name of Jesus, I command you, rise up and walk. And the girl starts to get to her feet, stretches her out, completely healed by the power of God. 12 years old. The witch doctor's crying, rings the bell, calls the whole village together. Said, this boy, through his God, has just healed my daughter. We are all going to follow the God of this boy. And the young boy preaches Jesus, 12 years old, and leads the whole village to Jesus Christ. Come on, church. Time for God to move. I'm just tired of another service. I'm just so hungry to see God break out, move out, pour out, change lives. People leave different from when they walked in. Healed, delivered, set free, addictions broken, marriages restored. Anyone get excited about that? Yeah. Is that just me? Is that just, you don't want that yourself? Amen. I'm sorry I get a bit excited about this sort of stuff. You know, Mark 16 says, these signs shall follow them that believe. Right. Yes. Lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Every believer should have a signs-following ministry. Amen. Yeah. In fact, you've got a signs-following ministry. The Bible says, you believe, lay hands on sick, they'll recover. Tell the person next to you, you have a signs-following ministry. Get on with it. It's gone pretty quiet right now. It's the Bible. Folks, it's the Bible. You believe, lay hands on the sick. Amen. If you started to believe this, you'd actually start to see it. The devil's trick is make sure you don't believe it. So I just want to go quickly to Acts chapter 2, verse 2 to 7. I see three armies that are going to arise in the very near future. Your sons and your daughters are going to prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. There's going to be a next generation army arise that's full of power by the Spirit of the Lord. And they're going to, you know, prophetic voices for 50 years have said God's going to raise up a mighty next generation army that's going to carry the fires of revival across Adelaide, the nation, and beyond. You know, approximately 50% of the world's population is under 25. 4 billion people. 4 billion people. But Satan hates this army because he knows the destiny of God on this young army. Under 30 and under, I think we'd call it, somewhere around that figure. So because he hates this army, he's seeking to destroy it. Just like he sought to destroy and kill Moses because he knew of the destiny on Moses, killed Jesus, he knew of the destiny on Jesus. And so this generation is facing unbelievable challenges like no generation has ever faced before. They're facing moral decline, anti-Christian voices, family breakdown. They can see anything on the internet, the social media pressure. The pressure on this next generation is an invasion of Satan to hold back the destiny on this generation. But hold on a moment. The very generation that the enemy has tried to destroy, I'm telling you folks, God is going to raise up to crush Satan and see one of the greatest revival in the history of the world. There is going to arise a next generation army that's going to blow the planet with the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why the enemy, if you're under 30, why he's attacking you, he's coming against you with everything he's got, because he knows the destiny that stands upon your life. And so, hey, if you are 30 and under, stand to your feet. It's just me standing. It's just me. Okay. Well, there's quite a few of you here. Quite a few of you here. Church, pray. Come on, pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for this next generation army. I pray right now, the Spirit of God, just come upon these different ones standing here today. Lord, apprehend them by the Spirit of God. Place on them an anointing they've never experienced before. And Lord, let them be a part of this generation that brings revival to Adelaide and into the nations of the world. We declare a next generation army arising even in this house in the name of Jesus. Somebody give God a praise. Thank you, team, for standing up. Woo! I'm so pumped up. I'm preaching myself to ecstasy. No, I'm just calming down. I just so believe this. But there's another army that's going to arise. It's an older generation army. Because my Bible says, Acts 2:17, your old men and women shall dream dreams. We're going to see a seniors army arise. What age are we going to put on it? I don't know. Let's go with 60 plus. 61, 62, whatever you want to call it. But look, they're going to have an incredible impact for God. It's a dangerous service that you came to. If you're thinking of retiring, forget it. Just forget it. All right? It's not going to happen. Abraham, Moses, Paul, very old when they had massive impact. I'm not old, but I've never been more energized. I've never had more faith. I've never been closer to God. I believe my most fruitful seasons are just ahead of me. In the next decade or two, whatever that might be, you know, as God gives me strength, my plan is I'm going to serve God full time to my last breath. Yes. I'm going to serve God full time to my last breath. Amen. Unpaid, I don't care. I'll be a volunteer to my last breath. My Jesus gave everything for me. I'm going to give my everything for him. I want to encourage everybody in this house. Make a decision today. You're going to serve Jesus full time to your last breath. You're going to not back down. You're not going to go to sleep. You're going to fall away from God. God's got some amazing things ready for you to go on and move forward. You know, too old is not in the Bible. Find it for me. Moses was 80 when he was in the wilderness, when he got the call of God. If you're 80, get ready. Retirement is not in the Bible. I want to say to every older person in this room, you are of enormous value. The world has done everything to minimize your worth. It's done everything to tell you you're going to be a burden to society. I'm here to tell you, you're going to be part of a mighty army that's going to bring revival to Israel, to Adelaide and beyond. Come on, Lord. Yes, I will get you to stand very shortly. All right. U.S. presidents are in the 70s. I'm not that they're that good, but anyway. Our mayor is in the 70s in Auckland. The world is picking up on it. These people have maturity, you know. When you're older, you're closer to God. You have more to offer. You have more faith, more wisdom. You can hear God better. It's no time to put your feet up. It's no time for a camper van holiday or playing bowls. Hello? Am I talking to anybody? Am I talking to anybody here? If you're planning all that stuff, forget it. The Bible says, old men, old women are going to dream dreams. Listen, our date of death is not the date on the tombstone. Your date of death is the day that you stop dreaming. Amen. Is the day you start dying. It's the day you stop dreaming. Keep praying and you will keep dreaming. I met a pastor, I told the team the other day, pastor down somewhere in Wellington area. He's about 64, 65. And he said, oh, done my job, about to retire. I said, what? You're going to retire? I said, God spent 65 years getting you ready to serve with greater passion and zeal and fervor than ever before. He said, oh, no, really? Yeah. I said, you cannot retire. So you come to Church Unlimited, no one's allowed to retire. We all refire. Tell the person next to you, it's time to refire. Come on, tell them. Yell it to them. Refire. So, hey, he took my advice. He's still serving God. He took on another church. He's having a great impact for God. I hope he's going to give me a blessing, send me something for, he's going to get rewards in heaven thanks to me. Because I told him, don't retire, refire. And he's doing amazing things for God. This generation should be honored. It's biblical. Honor your father and your mother. It's a biblical command. We don't do it enough. And we need to do it a whole lot more. They say the third 30, so 60 to 90, let's say, is when the devil is very active in his final attempt to shipwreck or to reduce your faith. That's when the fight is on in that area. We think, oh, we can slow down. No. Devil ain't going to slow down. He knows your value. So he'll do everything to slow you down. He'll do everything to get you to retire, everything to get you to stop, because he knows that you're in a place where you can have massive impact for God. The Caleb anointing is going to come on many. Joshua 14, verse 10 to 12. Here I am this day, 85 years old. Maybe not 85, but could be. As yet I'm as strong this day as on the day Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, for going out and for coming in. Now give me this mountain. You know the best prophetic word I was ever given? I was told I'm going to be like Elijah, and I'll outrun the chariot with supernatural energy. Believe for it for yourself. If you are 60 plus, stand to your feet. Stay standing. Can I say you are an amazing bunch of people? Amen. The church is built on your shoulders, on your sacrifice, on your prayers. What you've poured into the work of God, what you've poured into people around you, it's built on your love. It's built on your giving and your generosity. We honor you. I honor you on behalf of God. I believe I honor you today. And I say, God is so thankful for each and every one of you and what you have done for him and for his kingdom. We're not out here to minimize you in any way. We want to honor you. We want to thank God for you. And we want to declare over you that your best days are not behind you, but they are ahead of you. You're going to have an impact for God if you'll take it on. That's going to blow your mind. Father, we thank you. Church, would you pray for just a moment? Father, we thank you for every person that is standing here today. And I pray right now, Lord, a fresh anointing would come upon them. A fresh touch of heaven would come upon them. Lord, there'd come a fresh awakening of the Spirit of God and a knowing within, Lord, of what great value they are. We honor them. And that, Lord, that you have a future for their lives. Lord, that it's not time for them that's just going to slow down, but Lord, you're going to use them in ways that they have not even thought of or imagined. Father, I pray, would you spark a fire this morning? Will you ignite a flame in their hearts this morning? Let there come a revelation in their minds. It's not a time to retire, but to refire. And Lord, would you use them in ways that they never thought possible? Father, we ask in the name of Jesus. Stay standing a moment. Church, would we give them a mighty hand, a mighty clap? Would we thank the Lord for this generation of amazing people? You may be seated. My cricket bat. Revival always comes in response to prayer. Okay? So imagine Travis Head. Anyone heard of Travis Head? You imagine him. So he gets up to bat, and unfortunately, I'm bowling. So, you know, he bowls, and he goes to, and he misses. It's because I'm such a good bowler. So, you know, he misses again, you know. He tries to work it down the side, and it, you know, just doesn't go anywhere. So, it's, you know, then every so often he hit one. Maybe a four or a two or a one. And then, you know, he's batting, but for so long, you've seen the money. This is getting nowhere. So imagine if Travis says, forget that. I don't hit the ball every time. I'm not going to play anymore. You think, Travis, you're insane. Every so often, you hit a four, six, you get a lot of runs. It's what we do with prayer. We pray and we miss. We pray and we miss. We pray and we miss. And so we give up praying. I pray a lot, but I'm telling you, my strike rate is not great. I pray and I miss all the time. But I've made a decision in my life. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down swinging. If I'm going to go down, I'm going to go down praying. And some of you have said, I've been praying 6 months for this problem. I'm going to say, swing again. You say, but I've done 2 years. I say, swing again. You say, but Pastor, I've been praying for this for 5 years. I say, swing again. But you say, no, Pastor, I've done 20 years on this thing. I say, swing again. But you, there may be someone older here. You may say, 40 years, been praying for my children, praying for my health. I'm saying, swing again. Never, ever stop swinging, because you never know the day that your breakthrough is going to come. Yell at the person next to you, swing again. Come on, church, swing again. Never, 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 ever stop swinging. Because there was a pastor, had asthma. All his life, from the day he was a kid in hospital so many times. One day he's preaching on mountain moving faith. And he says to the church, come on, pray your bravest prayer. Pray a prayer that you've, you know, prayed many, many times. As he's saying that, he hears a whisper in the spirit. Pray for your asthma. He prays a prayer. He has prayed for 40 years. Prays it again. Instantly healed by the power of God. Never had asthma again, never in hospital again, never had an inhaler again. So I'm here to tell you, friends, swing again. Swing again. Come on. The prayer, the answer, God is going to come and God's going to do something amazing in your life. But the church needs to learn to swing again. The church needs to learn to pray again with passion and fervor. The biggest meeting in our churches should be the prayer meeting. It's not in my church. But I tell my church, my dream is the day that prayer meeting's bigger than the Sunday services. Wouldn't that be awesome? Why would that happen? Because my Bible says, I don't know what your Bible says, my Bible says, my house should be called a house of prayer. The church should be a house of prayer. More than anything, we should be praying. That's what the Bible, and when that comes back, we're going to have a full-scale revival. It's going to be an almighty thing. Lennon Ravenhill put it this way. He said, the church is dying on its feet because it's not living on its knees. Church is dying on its feet. Christians are dying on their feet because they're not living on their knees. So the church is on its feet. It's running around, do this, do there, go here, go this way. It's running around. It's doing so many things. We got this event on, that event on, the other. And hey, I'm all for the events. You can be at the same time dying on your feet because you're not on your knees. I say to my church, make sure your event is matched by the same amount of prayer. The energy you put in the event, put the same energy in praying for that event, and you're going to see something powerful, powerful happen. D.L. Moody said it this way, every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Every great movement of God can be traced to a kneeling figure. Will you be that kneeling figure? Will you be one of those? Would you be one of those? Why not? Why not? Why can't you be one of those? I'm one of those. Jody's one of those. We're kneeling. We will bring revival. We will bring revival. If I have the music team, please. Jody, there should be my chalk there somewhere. Did I put it in my pocket? So Gypsy Smith was a man in his 20s, and he drew great crowds of people. Thousands would come. And so many were being saved. And it was just an amazing, just phenomenal, just in his early 20s. And they asked him a secret of his success. And he said this. He said, go home, get a piece of chalk, go into your room. He said, lock the door. I feel it, Joe. I feel it. I feel it. He said, get on your knees. He said, then draw a circle around you. And then pray. God, start a revival inside this circle. Start a revival and start with me. Church, would you join me, please? If you can. If you can't, fine. On your knees. Upstairs, downstairs. If you can't do it, that's fine. But if you can. Just for the next few minutes, as the team are just doing the tune of God of Revival, would you start to pray? Just start to cry out to God. I'm telling you, He will hear your prayer. He'll hear your prayer. Just say, God, would you start a revival inside the circle? God, would you start a revival? And Lord, would you start with me? Lord, I'm coming to you tonight in humility. I'm coming to you today, Lord, and I'm asking. God, the church has been built on revival, on prayer and revival. Lord, would you count me in as one of those, Lord, who would spend time on my knees just crying out to you to see a great revival. Let's have a bit more music coming in the background before us. Tune it up a little bit. Church, you just begin to lift your voices, would you? Don't be afraid to open your mouth. Just like you're talking to somebody, you know, let's not go quiet on this. Let's have a sound of prayer, a sound of prayer arising from Life Christian Church, because this church is marked for revival. This is great. This is awesome. Come on, church. Let's rise to the challenge. Spirit of God is going to come on some of you right now. The Spirit of God is going to apprehend some of you right now. There's going to come the call of God upon some of you right now, because you are marked for revival. You are called to bring revival. You are called to pray. You're called to spend time on your knees. Maybe not everyone, but there are many in this house today. And God is saying, I am calling you. I am inviting you. God, start a revival and start it inside this circle. Father, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name, Lord, start a revival and start with me. Set me on fire. Set me on fire. Lord, by your Spirit, by your anointing, by your Holy Ghost, by the mighty hand of God. Lord, start a revival. Start with me. Start a revival inside the circle. Start a revival. God, start with me. By the Spirit of the Lord. By the Spirit of the Lord. Just stay on our knees. Can the team lead us in God of revival, please? As we sing it, Lord, dear friends, just keep praying. Just for another minute or so. Just pray as we sing God of revival, because that's what we're praying for. But make it personal. God of revival in my life. Thanks, guys.